David mentioned this earlier. We have a great friend with us here today. I met Bobby Connors, I don't even know, 20-some years ago. I was in Bible school at the time. He was one of the guest speakers in the school and would speak at the church. And then when I was about to graduate or did graduate from Bible college, they had a group of people to minister to the students, and Bobby prayed over me, prophesied over me. He didn't know who I was, really. And just gave me this word that I still carry around with me every day that really spoke of my future and some of what we're doing right now. Just so thankful for Bobby. He is a guy from Texas, married to his wife Carolyn, who wasn't able to make it here today. He's got some boys, I think three of them. Is that right? A bunch of grandkids. Bobby was a Southern Baptist preacher, believe it or not, for 27 years. And he is a spirit-filled guy who is full of the word. It will come out of me. It's kind of like, you know, you take a grape and you squeeze it and grape juice comes out. You squeeze Bobby a little bit and it's just like the word comes out. He just is so fluent in the words of heaven that God has put on the inside of him. And he's also a supernatural guy. He's a prophetic man. The Lord has used him through in many ways supernaturally to see many healings. A lot of people touched words like he gave over my life. He's given over many, many thousands of people. And he just keeps on going and doesn't seem to age. I don't know how this works, Bobby. Whatever you got going on, whatever you're drinking, keep drinking that. Eating that is probably the word, I think, and the spirit, because he's just full of life. And you're going to enjoy him. So I do encourage you, as David mentioned earlier, I felt the same, to be expectant. I believe God's going to speak to every single one of us today. Be open to what the Holy Spirit's saying to you, because God is going to say something fresh to you today. So, Bobby, why don't you come on up? Let's welcome Bobby.
All right, good. Thanks. Okie dokie. Here we go. Everybody.
Did you turn it on?
I think so.
I think you're on.
All right. Can you hear me?
Maybe.
Good.
Perfect.
That's good. God bless you guys. Didn't you enjoy those babies? Oh, man, they're wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Let's talk about God just for a moment. You want to? Let's talk about you being in this service today. This is June the 2nd, 2019. Now, you say, well, Bobby, I just heard that you was going to be here, and this is the church I go to. I decided I'd come. No, that's not how this works. Let me tell you when you decided to come to this meeting. You ready? The Bible says way back there, somewhere in eternity past, God picked up his pen and wrote down that you'd be sitting in a wake church June the 6th, 2019. That's what the Bible says. What? Yes, the Bible said that God wrote in a book that you'd be sitting in this church today at this time, June the 6th, 2019. You go, where is that in the Bible? Psalms 139, the Bible says this. All of our days are written in his book before we've ever lived a single one of them. If all of our days, that would have to be this day today, don't you think? So you know what that should do in your heart? It should give you courage and confidence that God has a purpose and a plan for you. You're not just here by accident. I read Ephesians, I wrote a whole book, a 259-page book out of one verse in the Bible. Ephesians 2:10, I think there's some back on the book table. Ephesians 2:10. I studied that passage out of every passage, English passage I could find on earth. And here's what it says. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we'd conduct ourselves in them. One translation says, you are the best God could do to display who he is. One translation says, you are his stroke of genius to display his God deeds. So when the devil says to you, who do you think you are? You ought to go, well, I'm the best God could do. We need to. God is tired of us having this pig pen perception of ourselves. Remember the prodigal son in the pig pen? I'm no more worthy to be your son. Make me a hired servant. Aren't you glad the father didn't go, okay? No, he said, get a robe, get a ring. I'm going to straighten up this boy's identity. Hey, I'm telling you, you and I better understand a couple of things. We're joint heirs with Jesus because we're sons and daughters of Almighty God. That's what the Bible says. I get loud. But, you know, I feel sorry for preachers that mumble and apologize for nearly saying something. You ought to say what you believe and believe what you say or sit down. I mean that. We've got to be bold in the Word of God. The Word of God, boy, I mean, it separates, doesn't it? It really does. Remember, Jesus Christ said something, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. That's what Jesus said. Does that sound like a super seeker-friendly church? No. Unless you drink my, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Now, and it says that when a big crowd heard that, they took off. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, you boys going also? And you can hear a little secret meeting if you listen to it. It said, where else could we go? Only you have the words of life. So they'd already ticked off their options, hadn't they? Say yes. Uh-huh. So anyway, God wants people that want to be with him. Did you know some people have just enough Jesus to be miserable? They got him in the head, but not the heart. Got a lot of rules, regulations, stipulations, God wants us to enjoy him. I'm telling you, why should we enjoy God? Because Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Happiest people in the world are people that are surrendered to Jesus Christ. Totally lock, stock, and barrel, just give over to Jesus Christ. That's the happiest people in the world. Let's talk about the most dissatisfied, the saddest, most wretched people in the world. You say, oh yes, the drug addicts, it's the lost people. No, they're really, really in a mess. But they're not the saddest. The saddest, most mixed up people in the whole world are Christians trying to live lost. The Bible said a double-minded man is what? Unstable in how many? All of his ways. So Christians trying to live lost are unstable in all their ways. But I know you're not that way, or you wouldn't be in a service like this and a church like this. We've known Pastor and his wife Debbie for years and years and years, and I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the heart they have to see you grow and to see you mature. Don't you want to mature? Oh, man. 2 Corinthians says, Paul speaking, I would not release this hidden wisdom until I found me a people mature enough to be ripe in understanding. Then he said, I'll release a hidden wisdom that will catch us up into the glory of his presence. Don't you want to get in his presence? I do. I want to get in his presence, and his presence getting in us. I hope you'll visit the book table. Now, I'm going to say something that should astound you and stun you. For 24 years now, on the Day of Atonement, I've had a visitation from Jesus Christ. Now, that ought to be enough to make you breathe. For 24 years, on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur, I have a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'll come tell me some of the things that's going to happen in the future. I record it in the book called The Shepherd's Rod. Matter of fact, this August the 31st, over in Moravian Falls at the Gathering Church, we're going to have a whole conference covering the 24 years of the Shepherd's Rod. It's wild. It's wild. We predicted the Desert Storm War. We predicted the terrorist attack. And if you pick up this one right here, and if you've listened to the news, you'll find out we predicted that they're going to discover something away out in deep space. Remember, they discovered a black hole? Anyway, it's pretty wild. So this one right here, this is one for 2019, and it's talking about beholding the Lord on a level we've never seen before. We're going to be like Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Did he go, hey, dude? No, he said, whoa, it's me. That's what's going to happen to you. That's what's going to happen to me. We're going to see him in his splendor, and it's going to break our hearts over how blatantly neglectful we've been to give him the glory due his name. And then he's going to change things. He's going to show us that we have another opportunity to laud our praise upon him and give him the glory due his name. So we're going to see a lot of tears. And it's going to be because we've neglected him. And then he's going to show us his goodness and show us we get a second chance to give him the glory due his name. So anyway, during this time for the shepherd's rod, I'd be walking along and coins would fall. Most of the time they were quarters, nickels, and pennies. And most of them were new. And I'd be walking down the airport runway and boom, or whatever you call that inside there. I don't get on the runway. Well, I do in the plane, but anyway. And the coins would fall in the plane even. But anyway, coins would fall. I'd be sitting at the office desk, coins would fall. It went on for days. Me being sharp prophetically, I finally said, God, what's this about? He said, I want you to go back to the body of Christ and announce to them, change is in the air. And then number two, he said, tell them their spiritual tomorrow will not look like their today. One of the benefits that God's going to do for us is he's going to give us an opportunity to come out of stagnation, and we're going to have a time of getting back everything the devil's stolen from us. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be a time of restoring back everything the devil stolen from the body of Christ. And it says, if you catch a thief, that's the devil, you can command him to pay back what? Sevenfold. So you're going to get a sevenfold payback. Boy, howdy, I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Yes, sirree, I am. You say, oh, well, you know. No, Joel 2:25, God said, I will restore everything the cankerworm has consumed. Wow, you want it back, don't you? Yeah, I'll tell you, God wants to get it back. In this book, we tell you how to bind the strong man so you can plunder his safe, how you can plunder his house. Binding the devil, Matthew 18:18 says, whatever heaven says is illegal, you can say is illegal. You can bind things. You understand that, don't you? Well, how does that happen, brother? Well, I think it happens because of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 says, unto him, talking about God, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us to be priests and kings. Wow. Wow. Why should you want to be a priest and a king? Well, the Bible says a priest settles situations. And it says the word of a king has power to it. And see, a lot of times we kind of are in self-imposed amnesia. We don't want to know who we are. We don't know what's available. We don't want to know what's available to us. See, a lot of people have the erroneous idea that the ultimate goal of God is just to get them from earth to heaven. Some glad morning when this life is over. You know, they're just so, listen, if the ultimate goal of God was to get us from earth to heaven, we wouldn't need a functioning fivefold ministry mentioned in Ephesians 4:11, would we? We wouldn't need the apostle. We wouldn't need the prophet. We wouldn't need the evangelist. We wouldn't need the pastor. We would not need the teacher. If the ultimate goal of God was just to get us from earth to heaven, only ministry we'd need is evangelist and assassin. Somebody gets you saved, boom, somebody shoots you behind the ear, you're there. But God leaves us here because he wants us to grow up into the maturity of Christ. He wants us to take over this planet. God is not schizophrenic. He's not up there with a whole bunch of different plans. Genesis 1:26, the Bible said, God speaking, let us make man in our own image and let's give them kingdom control. Now, God's still looking for that, isn't he? Somebody's going to get back everything Adam lost. I ask three questions all over the earth. If not now, when? If not here, where? If not you, who? There's not a single verse in the Bible that would keep it from being us. The restoration of all things spoken by the mouths of the prophets. The Bible said the heavens must... I talk fast on them. I'll tell you why I talk fast. I used to buy television time and I'm cheap. So I thought if I talk real fast, I'd get my money's worth. Do you see the philosophy of that? But since Matt and the church is paying for it, I can slow down if you want to. Oh, there's a whole bunch of verses running around now. Here's one of the things I'd like to talk to you about. What to do when you don't have a clue. What to do when you don't know what to do? Now, you may be so arrogant and so ignorant here. Hey, I said, you may be so arrogant and ignorant in this room that you go, well, brother, that message is not applicable to me because I know what I'm going to do. Well, listen, you're right. You're that arrogant, ignorant one I need to talk to. I'll show you from the Bible. Almighty God himself will get you in a situation, in a circumstance above your pay grade. You want to see it already? Yeah, let's just look at some stuff. Y'all want to? I like to mess around up here. This is nice. I enjoyed the praise time. That was fun. I can't play a radio, but these things have always fascinated me. I don't know. There's enough buttons up here to launch the shuttle. Isn't that a mess? Wonder what that does. Apparently nothing. But I would leave that alone because y'all didn't come to watch me play around. But I'm so tired of people thinking that the prophetic has to be like, no, listen, the first words out of the mouth of God recording your Bible is what? Let there be light. See, religion is always trying to make something happen. No, just let. You understand that? See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible said, without him, you can't do anything. John 15:5. See, this is the most crucial time in human history. And look who God's let live. Me and you. I go, what are you thinking? We're living the most crucial time in human history. And look who God's let live. I said, what are you thinking? He said, yes, I finally found me a people weak enough to work in. Now, not weak in morals, not weak in character, not weak in ethics, but weak in our own ability. He said, "Our family of generations embrace John 15:5. Without me, you can do nothing." Wow. But Philippians 4:13 says, "Through him, in him, by him, we can accomplish all things, who infuses us with inner strength." Wow. I can show you how we walk around in superhuman energy. This year, I'll be 76 years old. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 50 years. I'm living proof practice won't make perfect. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 50 years. That's the honest to God truth. This week I'll be in Germany, Switzerland, England, Dublin, oh Lord, all over the place. We just got in from New York, but got in from California. I'll tell you what, we go a couple of places a week. What a time to be alive. And I do it through, there's a verse in the Bible called superhuman energy. What? Yeah, superhuman. Guess how you get superhuman energy? You get in the presence of God. His presence gets into you, and you can accomplish anything. You ought to study Philippians. You know, I'll just read it for you, okay? I'm going to go in the Bible today to Philippians. Say Philippians. Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when I preach, I amalgamate all the different translations together. When I read publicly, I read out the Amplified Classic version of the Bible. If I was you, I'd do the same thing. Now, study in every translation you can find, but if you're really going to get into it, get the Amplified Classic. Don't get the one that made in 2015. It's weak. But the Amplified Classic is worth it. Here it is. I'm reading now Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiencies. Wow. I'm ready for anything. That's what that verse says. Now, I'll show you something else if you want to see it. You want to see it? Yes, Bobby. I'll show you that superhuman energy verse. Now, I'm reading out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Him, Jesus Christ, we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom and comprehensive insights into the ways and the purposes of God, that we may present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete, and perfect in Christ, the anointed one. For this, presenting everybody perfect, I labor under weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. Say it, superhuman. Superhuman. That's what God wants to do. He wants to come upon you and put his spirit within you, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall want receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Let me show you a verse, okay? Yes, Bobby, here we go. I'm in Hebrews, and here's what the Lord told me. He said, you tell my people. He said, Bobby, when you get somewhere, tell the people I'm going to give them an impartation from Hebrews 13, 20, and 21. I said, now, God, how can I tell them they're going to get an impartation from Hebrews 13, 20, and 21, even if they don't want it? He said, you get in there, it'll get into them. So because you're in this church today, you're going to get an impartation. You believe in impartation, don't you? Yes. Romans 1, verse 11 said, I yearn to be with you that I might impart to you a spiritual enabling that will equip you for the task that is at hand. But here's this one. I'm reading now out of Hebrews chapter 13, and I'm going to begin with verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who's the author and the giver of peace, who brought again from among the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting, never failing covenant, strengthen you, complete you, perfect you, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out his will while he himself works in you, accomplishing that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ the Messiah, to whom be glory forever and ever, ages past ages. Amen. So you're going to get an impartation to do what God's called you to do. Won't that be good? Yes. Romans chapter 1 verse 12 said it'll be mutually beneficial for both of us. That's what it says. Well, anyway, don't you love the Bible? Yes. It's the only book on the planet that guarantees you success if you'll memorize it. Joshua 1:8, the words of this law shall not depart from your eyes. You shall meditate upon it day and night, and it'll guarantee overwhelming success. Now, if you want to be a failure and a flop, stay out of the Bible. Anybody here want to be a failure and flop? If you want to be a failure and a flop, stay out of the Bible. If you want to succeed and see your family succeed, get it in the Bible. I love while they were dedicating those children, I thought about Isaiah 44, 3 and 4. Isaiah 44, 3 and 4, God said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants, and they will spring up like willows by a riverbank. See, if you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're desperate for God, your children will flourish. But if you're haphazard, cold, indifferent, your children will not flourish. The Bible said the parents eat bitter fruit, the children's teeth get set on edge. You understand something, don't you? You and I are forging the future our grandchildren will live in. You and I, right now. Now, what we're talking about right now, I think, did you read that they're having a day of prayer for the president today? Franklin Graham, Lance Wall now, 250-something leaders, have called for a prayer meeting today at 3 o'clock. You can look up Lance Wall now, Facebook, and find it live. But we need to be praying for the president. Why? Because you're told to in the Bible. I want to show you something. Now, can we be honest? Now, I'd never stand up here while I'm preaching. I walk around, but I understand the facilities and stuff like that. But I'm going to walk around anyway. That'll be okay. I know if you're filming, it makes it a little rough. But, you know, you have to work with what you got. All right, here we go. Now, see, this is so much better. There's a great gulf between us. And now I'm close enough to spit on you. I'll tell you one thing about this thing. You'll never get over this service. You think, I wish I wasn't even in it, but you'll never get over this service. Okay? Is that what you thought? Yeah, it's exactly what he thought. But anyway, I'm telling you the truth. You'll never get over this service. It'll be in him. And I'm thankful for that, because God's going to show you plans, purposes, and plots that he has for you. Jeremiah 29:11, you ought to put it on your mirror. I know my thoughts I think towards you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of your success, not your failure. My intention is to bring you to a good end, not a dismal demise. That's in the Bible. That's Jeremiah 29:11. I know my thoughts. Psalms 139, verse 18 said, God's thoughts towards us are more numerous than the sands on the seashore. And it says they're weighty and precious. And that word weighty and precious is kabob. It means they're glorious. So Almighty God thinks what? Continuous glorious thoughts towards you and I. Now, let's talk about some things, can we? Why be so pie in the sky and not be realist? 2017 in America, we spent $306 billion on calamities. Fires, floods, earthquakes, tornadoes. What does an insurance company call those? Act of God. So you have to say, America's under a curse. You can't spend almost $1 million a day on calamities and not be under a curse. You might ask me, well, Bobby, what curse do you think we're under? Well, let's start with Isaiah 5:20. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto the nation that finds it easy to call good evil and evil good. Do you think we would qualify? What happened in New York? They initiated celebration over abortion. That's murder. And they lit up the whole city. See, woe, that word woe, W-O-E, means God's pronounced judgment. God's pronounced judgment on any nation that finds it easy to call good evil and evil good. I suggest we're there, don't you? $306 billion. Google it. Not now. Google it. $306 billion. That's almost $1 billion a day on calamities. Is there any remedy? Now, I'm going to show it to you straight out of the Bible. You won't like it, but that's the problem. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about how to get this curse off of America. You want to see it?
Yes.
Are you sure? Okay, now here we go. Now, you say, well, I don't like a message like this. I like one of those. I'm going to be fine. We in trouble. Don't you think?
Yes.
We're in real trouble. We are way too familiar with a God we barely know. But you better believe this, he's about to reintroduce himself. The biggest word over the body of Christ is recalibration. Recalibration. Get back to the original point of accuracy. Don't you think the church needs to get back to truth?
Yes.
Isaiah says truth is falling in the street. I told the church 4 years ago, the biggest battle a church will ever fight is Proverbs 23:23. Pay the price for truth and don't sell it for anything. John 17:17 says, sanctify them being us, the saints of God, sanctify, set apart for the service of God, the people of God with the word of God. John 17, 17. Okay, here we go. This is the remedy for the curse we're under. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Bobby is reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all then, say this with me, top priority. First of all then, top priority, then I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Verse 2, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility. Let's stop right here. What man in America has the highest responsibility? President Donald Trump. You in your lifetime have never seen one human being under so many word curses. The modern day media in America should be tried for treason. What? The modern day media in America should be tried for treason. Look up Webster's definition of treason and attempted overthrow of a sitting government. If the modern day media is not guilty of that, I'd like to know who is. But look now, prayer should be offered for people in high places of authority. Watch the results. And I'm reading now, for kings and all who are in a position of high authority, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly one, a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Don't you want to have a quiet, peaceable, undisturbed life? What's the pattern for it? Pray for who? The president, the leader. I want you to join in this prayer meeting today at 3 o'clock. I want you to go a step further than that. I'd like to see you go down to a card company, buy a thank you card, and find a verse of the Bible that is a word of encouragement and send it to your president. Can you imagine the curses he's under? Oh, man. You and I, as children of God, God could care less whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Now, I'm telling you, you better vote biblical principles.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Yes.
You know why? God's going to hold us accountable, because he's not going to straighten this mess out from the White House, but the church house. How America runs is our responsibility. Where's that in the Bible? Well, Psalms 100, here, I'll quote it for you. Psalms 115, verse 14 and 15. You'll love this one. May the Lord increase you more and more, you and your entire family. May you be blessed of the God that made the heavens and the earth. Now, that's a great verse to put in your heart. That's Psalms 115, verse 14 to 15. May the Lord increase you more and more, you and your entire family. May you be blessed of the God that made the heavens and the earth. That's Psalms 115, verse 14, 15. But I didn't quote verse 16. Here it is. You ready? The heavens of heavens, that belongs to God, but this earth is your responsibility. Who's got to go and hold accountable for this planet? Christians. You and I. See, we thought he'd straighten it out from the White House, but it's a church house. We're going to have to assume responsibility, don't you think? We're going to have to start praying. We're going to have to start getting involved. Well, I don't want to get involved in politics. You're already up to your neck in politics. I told you a while ago, we're forging the future. Our grandchildren are going to live in. Now, I don't know how anybody could vote for somebody who wants to sell baby parts. Do you? Do you? And here's one guy promising to pay off your college debt. Show me one country on earth that communism has ever worked in. What about Venezuela? How's that working?
Not good.
Not good, is it? Now, don't listen to Bernie. Bernie's leading you down a blind road. Listen, guys. These millennials, they just, you know what they're going to have? And I promise you, it's on its way. The holy reverential fear of God is coming to the millennials. They're going to fall wildly in love with God. They're going to beat a path to senior saints and sit at your feet and drink in the words of God. I promise you it's going to happen. Millennials. Yeah. Oh, I'll be 76 this year. I speak in the largest youth conferences in the world. Guess what verse I use? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 7:1. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us purify ourselves from every bit of the contamination of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the reverential fear of God. Wow, bringing our consecration to completeness, it says. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Can you believe they're going to beat a path to your house and sit down and tell me what you know about God? That's Psalms 144, verse 5. One generation will spend the rest of their life lauding and... I'm screaming. One generation will spend the rest of their life lauding and applauding the mighty deeds of God, teaching the next generation that God's everything he says he is. See, a lot of people go, well, I should have and I could have, but it's too late now. No, it's not. I found Psalms 92:10. It says, you'll be strong, full of sap in your old age, fruitful and firm. That's in the Bible. Aren't you glad? People go, they go, well, how do you do what you do? How do you travel all over the place? I can wear these young bucks out. Their tongues hanging out. I'm telling you. Now, I found out the secret to it. The secret to it is daily communion. Have you read the Bible? You take it wrong, you get sick, weak, and die. Sick, weak, and die. That's if you're taking communion incorrectly. You get sick, weak, and die. That's a negative. Any negative has a positive. So if you take communion correctly, you get rejuvenation and you get longevity. Well, I don't understand that, brother. Now, you can go here and drink all the wine in Winston-Salem, eat all the bread in Greensboro, and still fall over dead. It's not in the wine and the bread, it's in the presence. In his presence is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. A merry heart does good like a... You stay bitter, cynical, sour, you won't live long. Doctors even know that your attitude. Yeah. Did you know if you'll have it's Philippians 4, 6 through 8. If you'll have an attitude of gratitude, you'll have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It'll keep your heart and your mind through Christ. I've got to see what's in here. Earplugs. Too late for that. Yeah, too late for that. You know what I thought when I started walking up the platform? He said, tell these people, God has spoken to you and given you a word. Here it is, Matthew 13, 16 and 17. I'd put it in my heart. Matthew 13, 16, 17 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Many long to see what you see and couldn't. Many deeply desire to hear what you hear and couldn't. You and I are the most revelatory generation that's ever lived. We can get the things of God. It's open to us. Revelations 4:1 says, now after this, I heard a voice that said, come up here. And I looked. There was a gate, a door, a portal standing open. And I heard a voice that said, come up here. There's open invitation. Zechariah 3:7 says, do what God tells you to do. He'll give you open access to his presence. That's what it says. You'll look it up, won't you? Sure you will. Don't go to church and not have fun. I want you to have fun. Well, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. Through! The key is through. Yea, they'll walk through the valley. You know, remember Shadrach, Meshach, and that other kid? God got right in the middle of the mess with him. He won't leave you in the middle of your mess. My favorite verse in the whole Bible is Nahum 1:7. This is kind of nice. I guess that's the camera we're supposed to be shooting out of. Is there any way you could make me look like Brad Pitt, maybe? Work with what you got. It'll be all right. Let's think about future. God said he wants to give you, here's your future. You ready? Jeremiah 31:17. Your future is filled with bright hope. You won't get that on the news, will you? But God has big plans for you. Jesus Christ walked up to me and said, Bobby, I give you my personal permission to attempt to exaggerate what I'm about to do. I said to him, I'll need a verse for that. He said to me, no problem. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him that is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or dare to imagine. You know what God said? He said, tell the body of Christ, accept no imitation so they can expect no limitation. What's an imitation? A counterfeit, a fake, a fall. A fraud. You get the genuine, you can take the lids of limitation off, can't you? That's true. So what did you do? What kind of work did you do?
Did I do?
Uh-huh.
Financial planning.
Oh, man, it's easy. Tell them, don't spend more than you make. It's pretty cool, isn't it? There's a verse in the Bible says, what do you do if you got some assets? Buy land, build houses, and plant gardens. That's what it says. Anyway, vineyards. Anyway, money. You understand there's about to be a great wealth transfer. I got caught up in a big circus tent. There's a being down there juggling big old blue balls as big as these lights up here. There was every kind of person you could imagine in that big tent. Every eye was focused firmly upon the guy juggling the big blue balls. And I said, Lord, what's that? He said, that's the spirit of Babylon. I said, what's he juggling? He said, the wealth of the world. But it's about to be turned over to the hands for which it was originally prepared. That's in the Bible. Yeah, it is. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, and it will return to the hands for which it was originally prepared. Wow, aren't you glad? Get ready for it. Get ready for it. God intends for you to have it. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is God that gives you power, ability, unction, a function to get wealth that he might establish his kingdom. God told me to tell you, if you have an entrepreneurial spirit, anything that's been done once, there's a better way to do it. That's the guy that made frog tape. You remember the frog tape? He was running. This is his testimony out of his own mouth. He said he's running blue tape on a ladder. And he said he heard Bobby Connor's voice going, God's releasing new ways of doing old things. He goes, what? God's releasing new ways of doing old things. He said, are you talking to me? He said, yes, I am. He crawled down off of a painting ladder, and a formula came across his mind. He wrote it down and invented frog tape. It's in every paint store you can find in America. It outsells blue tape and these other tapes 10 to 1. Why? Because he believed what God said. 2 Chronicles 20 says, trust the Lord, you'll be established, believe his prophets, and you'll prosper. Oh, I told y'all to start with that we was going to tell you that, you know, about what to do when you didn't know what to do. But I just got off on this other stuff. Here we go. I'll tell you what to do when you don't know what to do. It's 2 Chronicles 20:12. There's an army against the people of God. Jehoshaphat's over the people of God, and a big bunch of armies have assembled together, and they're marching up against Jehoshaphat and the Christians, the believers, the children of God. And here's what Jehoshaphat calls a big prayer meeting and a great fast, and they're in the middle of the prayer meeting, they're in the middle of the fast, they're in the middle of crying out to God. And 2 Chronicles 20:12, here's what it says. Neither know we what to do against this great multitude that's come up against us, but our eyes are upon you. What to do when you don't know what to do? Call a fast. Get serious. Start seeking God. And then keep your focus on him. Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Wow. Wow. Okay. And remember what happened? It says, while they're fasting, praying, declaring they don't know what to do, then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon the prophet. The prophet says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to send out the singers, not the soldiers. What? If I'd have been there, I'd raise my hand and go, second opinion. See, there'd never been a war fought in the history of humanity like that, had there? No. See, I get to ask the questions, answer them both. Never been a war fought like that. Send out the singers. And then that famous verse, everybody knows it, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Trust the Lord, you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you'll prosper. Remember they sent out the singers? Our God is well. That was a little bit of Elvis. And I don't know what they were singing, but it was good. It said, and the enemy armies went nuts, jerked out their swords, killed one another, and then killed themselves. That's what it says, 2 Chronicles. God's people never broke a sweat. Our God is an awesome God. Woo, woo. Took them 3 days to pick up the keys to the Rolex and all that kind of stuff. 3 days. See, if you do it God's way, you'll get God's victory. Isaiah 48, 6, and 7 says, I do a new thing. It's new now and not prior to now. Okay, so what to do when you don't know what to do? Do that 2 Chronicles 20:12. Focus on God. Ask him for his help. Here's another one. I'll just fast forward because we got to go for lunch after a while. I got lost as a ball in tall weeds on the way over here. It's that dumb gal in the thing. I say, you've reached your destination. No, I was at Burlington down there. Office Max in Burlington. I wasn't at my final destination. My boys bought me a Tom Tom years ago. Y'all remember the first ones that came out? I felt pretty techie, so I put it on my truck. And we start out, I programmed in where I was going to drive. My little tom-tom was there. I go down there, and so help me God, here's what my tom-tom said. I say, proceed on the motorway. British! I went to London, had to have an interpreter. And that's the honest to God truth. I went to London, England, had to have an interpreter. I speak Texican. You ever hear God talks, he talks just like Bobby. I'll tell you, he talks just like you listen. But anyway, I got so mad at that thing talking and I told my boys, I said, somebody ought to come up with a redneck tom-tom. You pull down yonder the trailer house, hook a left at the oak, you'd never get lost. But anyway, somebody ought to come up with that, get some verbiage we can understand. Good gracious. Okay, now here's one. Psalms 107, verse 23. This is for the guys and gals that think they're so intellectual they never get stuck where they don't know what they're doing. Psalms 107, verse 23. These men that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord. Because he, the Lord, raises up the stormy winds. It lifts the waves as high as the heavens. It drops the waves as low as the depths. And it says these seasoned sailors stagger to and fro. They are like drunken men, and they are at their wits' end. You ever been there? I promise you from God, it's a journey every one of us have to take where we expel, expend, expire every bit of our own expertise, and nothing's changed. They're at the wit's end. They've done everything they were trained to do. Still, problem not solved. Next verse is paramount. Then they cried unto the Lord in their distress, and he heard them, and he brought them out of all of their calamity and brought them into a safe haven. Oh, that man would praise God for his goodness. What happens? You've done everything you were trained to do, and it still didn't change. I mean, cry out to God. Now, I looked up I've read that word cry probably that many in the Bible. And they cried unto the Lord, and they cried unto the Lord, and they cried unto the Lord. You think it's this right here. No, that's not the word cry. It's a Hebrew word that means they screamed and screeched in anguish and agony. That's what gets God's attention. They screamed and screeched in anguish and agony over what was going on. So anyway, prayer changes things, doesn't it? Yes. I wrote a book about prayer. Listen, this will be nice. This book right here says, Jesus Christ appeared to me and he was sad. Now, I don't like the pictures of Jesus looks like a Holocaust victim. If you want to see what Jesus looks like when you step into heaven, he looks just like that little girl, Akiana. She painted him. She got caught up in heaven. Akiana, you ever heard of her? You can Google. I met her when she had just gone to heaven. Her mother and dad brought her to a service, and I prayed over the mother and dad that they'd have the Joseph and Mary anointing to take care of this little girl. She's a grown woman now. But boy, see, things happen. You know. So Jesus appeared to me sad. I said, what is it? He said, my people don't like to talk to me. He said, the least attended service in any church is prayer meeting. Then he said, I'm going to give you a phrase, a statement that will change the paradigm of prayer. It'll turn prayer from a drudgery to a delight, from a duty to a desire. I said, God, I want it. I want a phrase that's going to change the paradigm about prayer. He said, you tell my people what true prayer is. True prayer is an audience with the king. Think about that. No potentate on earth ever invites anybody just to come on in. But here's Almighty God. We can come to him anytime, any place, day or night, and have his full attention. Here's your great verse about prayer. It's in the red part of the Bible. What does that mean? Jesus talking. John 16:24. Jesus talking. Up until now, you've not asked. Ask now, and you'll get what you're asking so that your heart will be happy. John 16:24. Why now? 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is an acceptable time, a time of assured welcome, a time God will hear you and a time God will help you. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Out of what kind of amplified what? That's right. All right, and then here's one, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in God. If we ask him anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. If we know he hears us, we're totally confident we're going to get what we're asking. 1 John 5:14. See, if you're talking out loud to somebody you can't see, not expecting an answer, they lock people up for that. Don't they? See, you ought to believe that he that comes to God must believe God is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. All right, I'm getting ready to get out of here in a moment. I'm going to give this. Here, you'll take this, won't you? Why, sure. Oh, look, he said, man, there are not enough pictures on that for me. But, really, that. At trial, we're going to have a book signing. Jesus Christ came to him and said, won't you sign books? I said, I don't sign books. He said to me, you do now. First book I ever signed. I knew my name, so I signed it. And the lady in front of me, I said, what's your name? She said, Donna. I said, is it D-O-N-N-A? She said, yes. I'm writing D-O-N-N-A. When my pen made the last stroke of an A, a Bible verse came across my mind. So I wrote it down. She falls on the floor. She starts hyperventilating. Going, Well, going like that. That's the verse my mother used to train me. God grew a guy a finger at the book table. He'd cut it off with an electronic saw, and God gave him a brand new finger at the book table. And I was joking. I said, hey, you know, God's got original parts. And God grew him a finger. At the book table. One guy, 40 years stone deaf, got his hearing at the book table. It's crazy. But if you'll come by there, we can get a book. We'll sign you. We'll give you a verse. I like verses nobody ever preaches out of. Here's one. You ready? You've poured me out like milk, and you've curdled me like cheese. Now, I don't care who's been here. There's not a series on that out there. You've poured me out like milk, and you've curdled me like cheese. What in the heck does that mean? It's Job 10:10. It means we started a liquid and ended up a solid. It's the study of biology. The next verse says you put skin and bones upon me. It means God gave us a body for the same reason he gave his son a body, to make an invisible God known. Job 10:10. Here's you another one. You ready? If your axe is dull, you have to swing harder. That's in the Bible. If your axe is dull, you have to swing harder. That's Ecclesiastes 10:10. I like Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3 says, there's a time, a season, a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. So this is the camera. It's me again. Hey, did you know there's 23,800 videos of me on YouTube, and I've never put a single one on there? 23,800. Now, they just opened up this week a new YouTube channel for us. You can pull, it's free. You just pull it up, and you can see the good, bad, and the ugly. If you want to see me confronting some witches and warlocks in London, just Google, Bobby Connor saw my esophagus, and you'll see us talking to a warlock and some witches. That's kind of wild. Don't you like adventure? Yeah. And I come to church, and now listen, I want us to enjoy, and I want us to be full of expectation. Get out and start witnessing to people. I mean, listen, it's intriguing. They'll give you some of the craziest answers you've ever heard in your life. One lady, I'm almost through. I was in a big church, a church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and me and the pastor and the elders and their wives had gone out to eat, and we're sitting in a little booth like this. I'm sitting in a booth. There's a little bar kind of a rail right here, and here comes a little waitress. She had to stop right there, and she's putting the water glasses down in front of me, but I feel wickedness on her. But she feels me feel wickedness on her. And here's what she said. So help me God. I'm sitting right here. She's right there. And she said, oh, don't worry. I'm a Christian witch. I go, wow, that's rare. That's what I said to her. She was totally 1,000% serious. I said, wow, that's rare. It's rare. I don't think it even happens. I said, sure. She pulled up her sleeve. She had pentagrams tattooed there and some other occultic things. And here she had the three fish and a cross. She said, I said, how's it working for you? She said, wonderful. She said, I use witchcraft to manipulate people and the power of God to protect me. I said, it's working well. Oh, working great. I said to her, here she is right here. I said, honey, you better do whatever you do to get God to protect you, because I'm a man of God and I'm about to extend my hand towards you. So she starts, blah, blah, blah. I said, are you warped up? That's what I said to her. Are you warped up? She said, yes. So I stuck out my hand. Blue fire shot out of my hand, hit her in the chest, knocked her all the way up where they keep the eggs and the orange juice. She's screaming, ah, ah. Fell off, ran over there screaming, can you help me? I said, yes. Yeah, see, Isaiah 61 verse 1 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to set captives free. See, a witch ought to be way more afraid of you than you are them. I'm so sick of witchcraft in America. Most read book among children is Harry Potter. That's open witchcraft. Well, you know, everybody was doing that one. Don't let everybody lead you down a dark path, okay? The Bible, I was reading it. It said, I don't even suffer a witch to live. Let alone build a Fortune 500 club for them. You know, that's what happened to the lady who wrote Harry Potter. Anyway, but bad day for her one of these days. Maybe she'll get born again. Wouldn't that be good? We've seen that happen. We've seen witches get born again just like that. And they become a new creation in Christ. Yeah. Just like that. Yeah. That's good. So that's going to be all right. How old are you?
I'm 16.
16. Oh, man. And I'll tell you, I wasn't in church when I was 16. When I graduated, I was in jail. So they mailed me my diploma. When I first started preaching, the first few rows would be cops. I broke in the Henderson County Jail. That's as dumb as you get. I broke in the jail. There's a story behind all that. The judge that bought me my first preaching suit was a judge that used to lock me up, Judge Winston Reagan. He bought me my first preaching suit when I got saved and started preaching. He came to me, he said, now I'm a Methodist, and Methodists don't talk like this. He said, you know why I bought you that suit? I said, no, sir. He said, a voice came to me. God spoke to me. I got a nice suit out of the deal. You know? I don't really wear them, but, you know. Anyway, now let's talk to you just a moment. One thing I want to do is break sleep disorder off of anybody that has it. If you got any kind of sleep disorder, if you'll stand on your feet, I'll break it off of you and you'll sleep without any kind of medication, okay? Got any sleep disorder, stand on your feet. I'm going to pray a prayer over you and God Almighty will break off sleep disorder. You shouldn't have to take a pill to go to bed, a pill to get up. All right? Here's what the Bible says. God said, I will lay my servants down and their sleep will be sweet. So, Father, we choose to believe what you said. I come against every evil spirit that would render this, that would cause these people and hinder them not having good rest. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you'll lay them down. Their sleep will be wonderful, rejuvenating. They'll wake up invigorated and ready to face the morning. So I say to the second heaven, don't you ever, ever mess with their sleep again. We say to you, Lord God, yes, speak to us anytime, day or night. Speak. Your servants listening, but we say to the second heaven, don't you ever torment them with vivid nightmares. We thank you, Father, that you will give them good sleep in Jesus' name. Say, I receive this from Jesus Christ. I've got testimonies. One man said, I didn't sleep for 40 years without medication. 40 years. You say, well, you don't know the tragedy and trauma. Listen, cast all of that upon the Lord. Psalms 55:22 says, casting all your care upon him. And so you can be seated. You're going to sleep well. That'll be good. Write the pastor. Tell him, hey, you had a great night's sleep. It'll be good. See, you don't have to have a 45-minute prayer line to get something done. You just, any two of you agree, you get what you're asking. You see how time-consuming that is? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You talking about time-consuming. I used to do television and do all that and then finally turn the lights out and then I'd figure it was over. Pretty wild. But anyway, it's a good time to be alive. So that's good. So God's going to help you with sleep. I can break barrenness off of any couple if you want children. If you'll come by, we'll pray for you. You'll have children out of your own belly, out of your own loin. God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. You saw these children up here. You say, well, the doctor said it's impossible. No! Luke 1:37, with men it is impossible, but with God, there's nothing impossible. And all of this is talking about having children. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Job 42:2 says, anything God says it can't be stopped. It cannot be stalemated. Aren't you glad? Yes. Yeah. So if you, we'll talk to you about that a little bit later in private if you need to. But we can break barrenness off of anybody. That's true. We got a plethora of children they said couldn't be born. There's no such thing as that. What have y'all been drawing? Oh, my. That's good. Did I tell you when I messed up that lady's painting and she gets 7 figures for her painting? I didn't know. I just thought it was a sweet lady in the meeting painting. I didn't know she was on consignment from a studio in Seoul, Korea. So she had made a beautiful painting. And I go, this could use some work. And I got a big old black brush and go, whoosh, whoosh, and drew a big black cross across it. The whole crowd goes, and I thought, boy, there's power in the cross. And just about the time I got ready to quit, I said, no artist leaves his work undone, so I signed it. She's turned down 3 times the price, 6 figures for her paintings. She was in the meeting, the last meeting I was in over there in California. I said, I know who you are now. So she still got the one that signed. Isn't that crazy? But see, I like to monkey around. You know. What do you do, this guy right here?
Work for a HVAC contractor.
A what?
A heating and air conditioning.
Heating and air. That's kind of what I do. I try to set the atmosphere. You know, that's true. See, you know, I got one of them thermostats that talk back to you. Oh, Lord. Get me some coffee, talking to my wife, the thermostat says, that's not on my command. You know, have you got them talking thermostats? You answer the phone, she chimes in. Yes, how could I help you? Well, anyway, I can set it from the other side of the earth with my app and just push on to, I don't know what it is, something. And I couldn't find the way here. Pastor had to get out in the yard and say, turn left, your other left, you know. But anyway, most time I have a driver because I'm just, you know, I just show up and do what I do. This navigation, here's your verse about navigation. You want it? Nehemiah 9:20. He gave his good spirit to instruct us. And the word instruct means to navigate. That's Nehemiah 9:20. How you doing? What's your name?
Ann.
Ann, God bless you. Been a while. But isn't God good? Oh, boy. Do y'all understand the best is yet to come? Yeah. The best is yet to come. It says, I have not seen, ears not heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things that God's prepared for those who love him. Well, I want to pray for you. We got to go. He said we'd usually get out about 11:30. No, we didn't. He didn't. But I just made that up just so that you would think you're later than you were. So what do you do?
I work at a fiber optics place.
Fiber optics. So help me God, I saw fiber optics before I knew what it was. I said, I see human voices going down strands of light no bigger than a hair. And got it written in one of the Shepherd's Rod books. See, I saw, well, anyway, I see a lot of stuff. You see anything about me? Yes. Yeah. You say, what do you see about me? The guy with the cap turned around backwards. I see potential. That's what I see in you. You got a red jacket on. What's your name?
Storm.
What? Storm. Woo! There's potential. God's offering you a real open door if you'll listen, okay? I'll put a verse in you, Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. Because you've said, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my life. You'll be sure by the time you finish Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. Use it as a work time for a while. It says, walk with gold, aim and true purpose. Don't meander around. Okay, Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. You'll help you remember that, won't you? Sure. I like Storm. Don't you like Storm?
Oh, yeah.
I saw potential. You believe God offers us potential?
Yes.
And we go, oh, I don't think I can do that. I just read to you, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with power. That's for you. You can't, Romans 8:37 said, yet amid all these things, you're more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror? I'm talking the TV. Okay. Let's pray. Y'all want to?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you, when you pray, you don't have to switch into King James. Thus self thou to thee. Just talk like you talk. You understand that? That other is a religious spirit. You run down there at McDonald's and try to order a hamburger. Thee saith to thou. Be real. Aren't you tired of facade?
Yes.
Just be you. That's all God wants, you yielded to him. It's the greatest freedom in the whole world. Just be you yielded to him. Father, I want to thank you for this church and for the pastoral team. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that they're after the kingdom of God. I pray you'll bless them. Bless the works of their hands. I pray over the pastor right now and his family. Psalms 90, 16 and 17. Oh, Lord, let your works appear and establish thou the works of our hands. Yes, God, the works of our hands, establish thou it. And let your glorious majesty be seen by our children. So, Lord, I pray that over the family. And I pray right now for each one of these in this room today. I pray that this will be a time of real, real recalibration, getting back to what's real and what lasts and what's genuine. And, Lord, we know that's you. You said if we build on anything but you and your word, it's temporary. It won't last. But if we'll build up on the rock of the word of God, the winds will come, the storms will blow, but the house will stand. So, Lord, thank you for firm foundation in Jesus' name. Touch every sick person in this room. Heal them. I pray for the discouraged people that hope will arise in them. I pray over them right now that weeping may last to the night, but joy will come in the morning. That's what it says. God bless your heart. I'll see you at the book table. Pastor, see if you, Rick Joyner says they mess up center field so bad nobody can play it. That's what. Said I'm going to write a book. He said I suggest you read one. Yeah.
So there's never a dull moment around Bobby, and I'm thankful for that. I want to be like that when I'm 76. I'm telling you what, that's awesome. So I want to give you an opportunity to give toward Bobby. He came over here today. We had him scheduled for August, I think. And I said, Bobby, if anything pops open, let me know. And he said, June 2nd. So he came over today, and it was so great to have him here. There really is. I know it's a different, he's a different style than any, everybody has their own style, their own way of communicating, and we love them all. God made us individually different, and I'm so glad. But boy, you can hear heaven, you hear the word, there's inspiration, there's conviction, and I'm so thankful for God speaking to us today through Bobby. Thank you for coming, Bobby. As he heads to the book table, I want to give you an opportunity to give, to sow into his ministry. All this will go to him. And you can give via the app as well. If you scroll down there, when you put a number in, you can give, I think it says special speaker or guest speaker or something like that. You can do it that way. You can write a check out to Awake Church. All this offering will go to him. And thank you for your generosity to sow into him and his ministry and him going around the world. And Lord, thank you for Bobby. Thank you, Lord, for these 50 years of ministering your life, your hope, healing, your power, Lord, supernatural words that sustain. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, we ask you, bless he and Carolyn, their children and grandchildren, and the days and the years ahead that you have for them, Lord. Continue to use them with governments and in churches, Lord, and in lives to set people free. We bless them, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name.